Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Tonight, if you are joining in with me, you can, and the notes are on YouVersion. If you would like to pull those up, you certainly can. They are there this evening. I'm going to do something different. Let's go ahead and pray before we get into the Word. I think it's timely and it's the right thing to do, so I'm going to pray right now. Would you join with me? Heavenly Father, I come before you and I ask you that you would just give me the anointing that would make this effective, what you are going to do. Father, I pray that you would allow me to speak clearly and effectively yet unoffensively. Father, I pray that your word would go forth and it would speak to these hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit would prepare the grounds for them to be able to receive it, God. And I pray for and against every distraction. I pray against every wrong thinking, God. I pray against every spirit of darkness that may try to come and possess the thoughts of your wonderful people. Father, I pray that this house would be a house of revelation. I pray that this house would be a house of glory. I pray that this house would be a house of your holy anointing. Father, we know that you can do this. We believe that you can do this. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The Word of God says, "But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. If anyone stirs up strife, it is not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you. No weapon that is formed against you shall succeed. And you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. But mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy, because when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. And from the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Tonight, I intentionally opened this sermon with just a sample of the 30,000 promises that the Word of God has for you. The promises that God declares are for you. And no doubt many of you have heard these sacred verses, or at least you've heard some variation of them. But my hope tonight is that I could give voice to those of you that have heard these promises, but you are still perplexed with the question that if God loves me, if God promises that for me, then why? Why do I feel alone? Why do I feel that He's left me? Why do I feel as if I'm suffering? Why do I feel as if I have lost and I will never feel what I have felt before? Why do I feel as if I cannot recover? Why is this happening to me? If God loves me, then why? And you fill in the blank. Make no mistake, whether it be people, places, or things, everyone and everything in this world is broken. I believe that there might be some of you in here that you feel at times that you are even so broken that your situation is so disastrous that you are helpless even for God. Job said it like this. He said, man who is born of a woman is a few days, but full of trouble. The Bible makes this statement that each individual suffers. They may suffer differently, but every person has suffering sometime in this life. And I'm not here to paint you a gloomy picture. And I'm not here to give you no hope, but rather the opposite is true. What I want you to know is that the emotions that you sometimes feel, the feelings that you sometimes have, you are not alone. There is no exception to this. Some have outward adversity, while others suffer with inward distress. Some with physical ailment, and others with an illness of the heart and soul. Some trouble cannot be avoided. So knowing this behooves us to try to make sense of this condition. To not sit there and wallow in sorrow. To not sit there and say, if it's for them and not me, what's wrong with me? Because the truth is, there are no exceptions. The truth is, you are not alone. The truth is, other people have suffered like you. But what is it that is the key that has got them over it? First thing to remember is that this is not without a cause. Proverbs 26:2 says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse is causeless. So the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, never will there come a tribulation. Never will there come a trouble. Never will there come a situation that does not have a cause or a purpose. Everything that God observes, He injects with purpose. There is not only a possibility and a probability of surviving, but God's sole intention for you is that while you are in need, He wants to redeem you. He wants to redeem His creation with purpose. His purpose is not to always shield us from trouble. But often He exposes us to the process of trouble. To the point that we become so overwhelmed with the sense that we must cling to Him. We notice and we are made aware of our inadequacies. We are made aware of the fact that without Him, we are weak. I may be weak, but He is strong. It causes us to cling to His unchanging, ever so powerful, ever so gracious, ever so kind hand. Though the weight may at times seem more than we can stand, it ensures us this one thing, that we will hold fast to Him. It may seem at times that we can't make it through. It may even seem at times that your situation is avoided by everyone else, but to you there is not a single moment it's avoidable. You see, but the Bible invests so much ink into the fact that God is a firm defense, that He is a strong tower and a solid rock. It also likewise it expresses and spends as much time declaring that within our own selves, left to our own devices, we are weak at best. So we must hold to His unchanging hand. You see, if you set me on a clear path with no distractions, with no obstruction, free of all obstacle, and then offer to take my hand to guide me on that path, I am sure to shrug it off. But put me in the dark place. Put me out in the rough country. Put me on the slippery slope. Put me into a place where the clouds linger when my strength is spent, and I am sure to cling to the first hand that reaches out. Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Not they that reason within themselves. Not they that think it hard enough. Not they that spend enough time with self-help books. Not they that counsel within themselves. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In other words, they that cling to His unchanging hand have a hope for eternal glory. Those who depend on Him, I would hate to know what it's like to only depend on my own devices. I, for one, am glad that I must depend on Him. Because when I get weary, because when I get crazy, when I get off track, I know that He's still firm. I know that He's still sure. I know that He's still trustworthy. I know that He's still got my best interest in mind. Psalms 37 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Not by his own plan. Not by his own understanding. Not by what he thinks is best. But that they're ordered by the Lord. It's important that you remember this. That there stands this one rule. That no matter your circumstances in life, life is not arbitrary. Life doesn't come by happenstance. That God works all things for our sake. In the New Testament, it's everywhere. That He is looking at your situation and that He is the author and the finisher of your faith. And I stretch out to say He's even the publisher of it. He's even the one that says, I not only write it, I not only pen it, but I bring it to pass. Whatever the enemy, and make no mistake, it's the enemy, brings your way, God, you can be sure of it, He'll either overrule it, He'll either undo it, or He'll redeem it to serve His purpose. God will take whatever trouble comes your way. He'll either overrule it, undo it, or redeem it to serve His purpose. Nothing is absent from purpose. impending doom face the children of Israel. And the prophetess Deborah says in her song that she saw the stars wage war against the enemy. In the fifth chapter of Job, he gives us an assurance that God has placed even the stones of the earth and the beasts of the field in covenant with man. A mute donkey is used to scold a prophet. And when no priest could be found to carry the ark, a couple of milk cows carry the ark. Make no mistake that when God was forming out the foundation of the earth, everything he formed, he built to serve the purpose of his loved one, his child. You don't believe me? What did David do? A young man who was very untrained and unskilled, he grabs a stone and it serves his purpose. Job said the stones of the earth and the beast of the field will even serve the purpose that I have. Throughout Scripture, God reassures us that when there does not seem to be a fitting answer, God will use whatever he has for his purpose. So when the enemy sweeps in, rest assured that if God has to use an old milk cow, if he has to use a donkey, the stars in the sky, or a small smooth stone, he will, he can, he will redeem you with his purpose. That whatever trial you're facing, that whatever ailment in your body, that whatever insecurity that you face, God says, turn it over to me, my child, because in my hand, I can take it and fashion it for purpose. I can take it and fashion it for ministry. I can take it and fashion it for a testimony. I can take it and fashion it and use it to carry out my plan. What you look at as a hindrance, what you look at as a crutch, what you look at as a weakness, God says, turn it over to me and I'll use it for my purpose. 2 Corinthians 4 through 16 and 18 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Number two is strength is built through resistance. During the years of 1991 through 1994, there was this project scientists created called Biodome 2. Biodome 2 was a project built with the one sole purpose to try to see if a man-made ecosystem could support human life. And the reason for this was is that eventually, if there could be a similar structure built in outer space to support human life in outer space, save a worldwide disaster, or maybe just venturing out into new territory, whatever the case is, this is why they did that. The first expedition had a crew of eight. It lasted approximately 2 years. The trees and everything flourished. The plant life grew. Everything seemed to be great. Everything seemed to be flowering and blooming. And it almost looked as if they had hit a home run. And then the second expedition was a crew of eight people. And this only lasted 6 months because they had this situation come about. And the situation was that they would have these big, beautiful trees. They would be 50 feet in length and height, but there was one problem. They could not sustain themselves, and they had to be fastened to the dome by cable or structure. And so the scientists said, what is going on here? What is up with this major problem? These trees in the normal environment grow to 50 to 75 feet in height, and they sustain themselves just fine, and they're very strong and very sturdy, but inside of here, they're soft and they have no structure. These trees, other than being very soft, they looked like any other tree. But what was it about them that made them where they could not support their own weight? Soon the scientists discovered what was missing. It was the element of wind. You see, because in the natural realm, it is the wind. You're going to get this. It's the resistance
The consistent pushing, the consistent wavering, the consistent bending and breaking that causes the trunk to grow strong. You see, without resistance, it couldn't sustain its own weight. Without resistance, it couldn't hold fast in the storm. Without daily resistance, it could not possibly grow to the heights that it's destined to grow. You see, this consistent blanketed wind causes these trees to grow stronger. It's the same feeling of when you face tribulation. It's the same feeling of when you face anxieties. It's the same feeling of when you have to overcome insecurity. It's the same feeling of when you have to overcome weaknesses and family curses and distractions and diseases and cancers and growths. Because you say, you don't understand that. It's just a small thing, because what I've been through, my God can get me through this. Job 8 and 11 says, can the rush grow without the mire? The rush, you see, that might not mean anything to you, but in that day and age, the rush was called papyrus. And papyrus was the resource used for writing every law down. Papyrus was the source for writing and communication. It was the source for a whole economy. Papyrus was one of the most valuable resources in this day and age. Papyrus was what the Word of God was written on. And he said, without the mire, without the dirt, without the disgust, without the clay, without the mud, without the filthiness, without the trouble, without the thick waters, there would be no rush. Without these situations, there would be no joy. Without this trouble, there would not be an overcomer. The rush does not exist without the mire. Because this one thing that's indigenous to all life on earth is opposition and adversity and brokenness make you stronger. Brokenness makes you stronger in the kingdom of God. You see, out of the dark soil comes the white lilies that sprout. Out of the brown cocoon comes the beautiful butterfly. Out of the somber, darkened night comes a golden morning. Out of the pain and stress of life, the peace of God comes forth. Out of the nails and the spear and the cross comes redemption and a crown. Moses was denied seeing the promised land because he was overwhelmed by the pressure of the people and struck the rock. Jacob had to wrestle till he was blessed. Joseph was given a dream, but not before he was sold by his brothers. Abraham had to raise his flock in the wilderness. Stephen served wisely, but is stoned to death. Paul suffers through almost all of his writings. And even Samson, though he was supernaturally strengthened, is compromised by his own weakness. Trouble and brokenness is no respecter of persons. Trouble and brokenness, don't think, this is one of the things we have to be careful as Christians, is when somebody comes in and they say, I'm hurt. When somebody says, I'm broken. Or when they don't dress like you dress. Or when they don't look like you look. Or when they don't talk like you talk. You're so quick to say you're just not believing hard enough. You're just not living right enough. Sometimes it's because they're broken. But in the hands of God, in the hands of a loving Savior, He can take that mire and bring forth sprouts of rush. Trouble and brokenness, no respecter of persons.
curse causeless shall not come. Even the most unimaginable trouble not only can be, but will be redeemed. But the Bible is not without balance. You see, Moses is later pictured with Christ on the mountain of transfiguration. Abraham fathers a nation chosen by God. Jacob will limp, but live to see 12 tribes come from his loins. Joseph's dreams may have been delayed, but they come to pass. Stephen will be stoned, but Paul was holding his coat. Samson, with the vision of the youth and the strength of age, brings a heathen temple to the ground. We must never forget this rule, this truth, that whatever circumstances, whatever trouble, whatever brokenness, whatever tribulation, there is a God in heaven who will not only can he, but he will redeem it to serve his divine purpose. Number three is that we have strength sufficient for our days. You see, just before the death of Moses, he's on the mountain and he's about to bless the sons of Asher and Asher. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, 24 through 25, he says, "And of Asher, he said, most blessed of sons be Asher. Let him be the favorite of his brothers. And let him dip his foot in oil. Your bars shall be iron and bronze," which you may not know this, but that's because at that time, Israel was a Bronze Age tribe. And he's saying, you look at what you have right now. Look at what you have in your own home. Some of you need to get this. Look at what your family's always had. But look over on the other side over there. You see what they got? Yeah, that's going to be yours. And it's not going to come by ill-gotten gain. It's going to come because the divine hand of God brought it to your house. I'm talking about addicts who can not only be sober, but can be deliverers. I'm talking about people who are impoverished, not only can be beyond living paycheck to paycheck, but live blessed. Because he says, you look over there, yes, they have it because of blood and spoil. You have it because of me. But this one warning comes out that the obvious is that there's a blessing here. The obvious is, he says, so your days will be, so will your strength be. He says, I will give you strength for the day. Nothing more, nothing less. In that promise to give strength, he reiterates the human condition for the propensity to project into the future and imagine what tomorrow may hold. How many of you can say that your thoughts and your minds are consumed with tomorrow? I have to do this tomorrow. I have to be about this tomorrow. I have to see this doctor for this tomorrow. I have to go hear this tomorrow. I have to go to court and deal with this tomorrow. But do you hear what is the common denominator in all that? It's I. Because the human condition is impossible for you to envision tomorrow with anything other than just by yourself. So he says, don't worry about tomorrow in Matthew, because tomorrow will take care of itself. In other words, I'm not giving you the strength for tomorrow, because if I give you the strength for tomorrow, you're going to try to go about it by yourself and you'll fail miserably. But I'm giving you what you need for today. And you're not only going to have what you need for today, but you're going to be able to wake up tomorrow and trust me for what you need that day.
We always revert to that what lies ahead. Be anxious, not for tomorrow, because sufficient for the day is its own trouble. When we take that trip, we often take it alone. And you are, no matter how strong you are, no matter how mighty in the faith you are, no matter how much word you know, no matter how good you've been, no matter how wonderful you are, you cannot go on that trip alone. But the same rests true that no matter how dirty you've been, no matter how messed up your life has been, it doesn't matter if you have a pedigree or not, that you do not have to go about it alone. If we are not careful, we will begin to resolve that our problems and our circumstances, our unanswered prayers, and our uncured diseases are a result of our status in faith. Our status as a Christian. Our status as a human being. We cannot begin to think that our circumstances somehow remove His provision and power off of the table. And this is why I've come to you tonight. Because number 4 says that even the lame can take the prey. You see, the prophet Isaiah describes the children of Israel in the grasp of the mighty Assyrians. They were more powerful, more elite, more skilled. They had greater weapons, more technologically advanced, better equipped. And they're standing before the nation of Israel, some around 185,000 soldiers against this small Bronze Age nation. And Isaiah goes before the Lord and he says, "You're going to have to do something." And God says this to him. He says, "Your cords hang loose. They cannot hold the mass firm in its place or keep the sail spread out. Then prey and spoil in abundance will be divided. Even the lame will take their prey." In other words, the word of the Lord was this, that even though this situation has impossible odds, even though the prognosis is very clear that it ain't looking good for you, honey, the devastation I'm about to bring to the camp of the enemy is going to be so great that even the crippled and the wounded are going to get some of the spoil. In other words, it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you have heard. It doesn't matter the insecurities you deal with. Because the God that I serve in His kingdom, everybody gets a spoil. Jacob refused to release till he was blessed. And the prophet Hosea in chapter 12 says that he prevailed against the angel. In other words, he had power over him. Not because he was greater. Not because he was more powerful or spiritually significant. But he said, "I refuse to let go. I will hold fast till you bless me." I wish there's some people in this house that would stand to their feet and say, "I'm going to look cancer in the eye and say, I won't let go. I'm going to look disease in the eye and say, I won't let go. I'm going to look addiction in the eye and say, I won't let go. I'm going to look sorrow in the eye and say, not today, because I won't let go. Because in this kingdom, the lame get the praise." Come on, shout with a voice of triumph. Even the wounded. David have an opportunity for the spoils of victory. Even the divorced have an opportunity for the spoils of victory. Even the unclean have an opportunity for the spoils of victory. Even the addict has an opportunity for the spoils of victory. Even the wretched sinner has the opportunity for the spoils of victory. Even someone like me and someone like you has the opportunity for the spoils of victory. In 2 Kings chapter 19, pagan king sends word to Hezekiah. He sends a threat that I'm going to overtake you and I'm going to overwhelm you. Hezekiah goes to the prophet Isaiah and says, I need some help here. And Hezekiah says, what should I do? The prophet Isaiah comes to him and he says, listen, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. This is what the word of God says. He says, you go take that letter. You go take the words of the enemy. You bring them and you put them on the altar. Read it. It's in the word. You take the words of your enemy. You take the words of the naysayers. You take the words of those that say it can't be done. You take the words of those that says it can't happen in your life. You take the words of those that says you'll always be that way. You take the words of those that says that you'll never get over the death of a loved one and put it on the altar. And then you tell that enemy and you look at him, and this is what Isaiah told him. He says, you tell him that I, by the power of God, I'm going to put a hook in your nose and a bridle in your mouth and send you right back where you came from. Some of y'all need to get it in your spirit. Some of y'all need to get it right down into your knower, as they say. Some of y'all need to get it right down so deep nobody can take it out and say, I'm going to rise it up in me that when my family even comes against me, when my people come against me, when my neighbor comes against me, when my co-workers come against me, when Satan comes against me, I'm going to get it down in me and tell him, look here, buddy, I'm going to shut you up and send you back where you came from. Satan, not God, is the undisputed source of our sin, sickness, suffering, and sorrow. And you and I better get rid of this idea that we serve a God who puts cancer on you, who puts disease on you, who brings divorce about you, who brings lies against you to teach you a lesson. Make no mistake, sin, sickness, disease, and sorrow all came wrapped up in one big package when Satan entered into the book. You read the first two chapters of Genesis, and you read the last two chapters of Revelation, and none of that garbage is there. The only time it exists is when Satan's on the loose. So I'm here to tell you that you can rest assured that you can believe in a God who didn't put it on you. And because of that, I know I can go to him boldly before his throne and declare to him with faith and say, this sickness will leave my body. This lifestyle will leave this place. This home will be a house of prayer. I can go before him and say, the sinner will be a saint. The unclean will be made clean. The unrighteous will be righteous. That propaganda is not biblical. If you can prove me otherwise, I challenge you. God will either overrule it, undo it, or redeem it for his purpose. When David sent people out into all of the land, he looked for anybody that was of the house of Saul. He sends his men out, and they find one young man who was lame. His name was Mephibosheth. And thinking that David would have nothing to do with him, they come back and kind of just sweep it under the rug. But David says, "Did you find anybody?" And they say, "Eh, I guess, if you would call it that. Did you find anyone of the house of Saul?" And he said, "Well, you see, way down in Lodabar, there's this young man by the name of Mephibosheth. You see, he's got this condition. You see, he's got this ailment. He's got this thing that really bothers him and those around him. Do we really want him here?" Oh, you think I'm still talking about Mephibosheth? Do we really want him here? Do we really want this crippled, lame? It's going to require cleaning. It's going to require some extra work. You know somebody's going to have to get him from point A to point B. You know, he's been out on his own for so long, he doesn't know the ways of royalty. He doesn't know what the protocol is. He doesn't know. Do you really want this lame man? And David says, "You go get him and bring him to my house." He said, "You put a ring on his finger. You put a robe on his back. And let me tell you this. When they slid his crippled legs under the king's table, nobody could notice a difference. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what situation you may be saying. My situation is so petty. There's so much out there that I need, that others need to hear and they need to know about. Mine is so petty. Why would God even waste his time with mine?" And he's saying, "Come slide it under my table. Come slide yourself under my table. Come bring your brokenness under my table. Come bring your heartache to my table. Come bring all of your pain to my table. Because when I'm done with you, I'm going to put a robe on you. I'm going to put a ring on your finger. And nobody's going to know a difference." Wish somebody here tonight would say, "I may be wounded. I may be hurt. But tonight, Satan, God's going to send an angel to overpower you. Send you back where you came from. Cancel out the lies you've told me. And he's going to put a ring on my finger and clothe me with a new garment." Every person in this room, stand, please. Job chapter 23 said this. He says, "I look forward and he's not there. I look behind and I perceive him not to be there. I look to the left and the right and he's not there. But still, he knows my way that I go." Came here to tell you tonight, you may be facing some things you faced for a long time. You might be facing some things that it's been hard to shake off. People have said things about you. It's caused insecurities to creep in. It's called doubts and fears and anxieties to creep in. It's caused you to be that one that would say, "Never in a million years Would I do anything to bring attention to myself? Well, I'm going to ask you to do something tonight out of faith. I'm going to ask you, as the Spirit Life team comes forward, I'm going to ask you, if you'll come here raising your hand and say, listen, the devil saw wounded. The devil saw hurt. But he didn't count on this one thing. That in God's house, even the lame get the spoils. I want to pray over everyone in this place. I ask that everybody put your head down, your eyes closed. And if you're one of them right now, and you would be willing to say, that's me. I have been lame for so long. I've been lame. I've been allowing what people say about me to cripple me, to keep me bound up, to keep me to a point to where I don't venture out. I don't do anything. I don't move forward. Would you raise your hand right now? Hands. I see these hands. Hallelujah. Wonder if there's anybody in here tonight that would be willing to say that tonight I'm taking up a sword. Tonight, it's going to end. That I know my life has trouble. And I know my life might have trials. But when I grasp the hand of God, I can make it through. If that's you, would you come up here right now? Come on, don't wait, don't wait, don't wait. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Move, 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 move. Hallelujah. Come on, move. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let anxiety stop you. Come on, move, move, move. Come forward, come forward, come close, come close. Find somebody to pray with you. Hallelujah. And I want to pray this over those of you that are in here. If you raise your hands, everybody in here, raise your hands right now. Father, I declare right now your word that says that I am the head and not the tail. That you are the first, the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You see my future, my past. You see my in-between. You see what's going on. None of this has caught you by surprise. And I trust you for this day. And tomorrow when I wake up, I'll trust you for that day. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, shout. Come on, give them a shout of victory.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.